Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning to the show, everyone. Today is Monday, February 22nd, and Kelsey is out today. I'm joined by an amazing person named Sheena Metal. Welcome to the show, Sheena.
Hello, my friend. It's great to be here again.
And Sheena, for those of you who don't know, is hardly ever on the radio, although she wants to be.
I'm a wannabe.
Yeah. So you couldn't get you away from radio in the past 20 years or so, huh?
Yeah, 21 now. Can you believe it? Almost a half. How? Where do the years go?
I don't know. But you've been doing radio for a long time.
Yeah.
How did you get into radio? What made you decide you want to do it?
You know, I never wanted to do radio. I never had any aspiration to do it at all. And when I was 23, I produced and started my first television show, a local television show, with actors and scripts. And it was sort of my first production experience in that regard. I'd been mostly a theater actress before that, had done a one-woman show on video. Oh. And I was there for five, six years. I did that show. It became very successful. And a production company picked it up, and they were going to produce it to try to package it to sell to a network. And then the Northridge earthquake came and completely destroyed their facility.
Wow.
And they called me up and said, look, it's going to be a $20 million rebuild. We're looking at 2 years. We may just fold under this.
Right.
So we're not doing it anytime soon. So I crawled up in a fetal position and asked why God had forsaken me. And then a magic elf named James Bartolet, who was also doing a show at the same place that I did. He was doing like an entertainment talk show. Said, hey, I've got this late night radio show, and I've been doing it for years, and I have this new girlfriend, and she's not happy about the fact that we can never go away on the weekends, and I can never do anything on Saturday nights. Do you want to take over my show for a week and see what happens?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, okay, I'll just do it once and put it on my acting resume. I was so excited, fully intending that they would fire me. So I grabbed a couple of friends. One was my best friend, Robbie Rist, who you know as Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch, and my friend Ernie Ventry, who I knew from music, who was my bass player in my band Beer Bong. And I said, let's just call a bunch of people and tell them we're going to be on the radio and just go do this thing at 2 o'clock in the morning and see what happens.
Yeah.
And we did it. And I remember we went to Denny's afterwards, and I remember Robbie saying, they're going to give you more time. And I said, they're going to call in the morning and fire me. Well, they called in the morning to fire me, and they actually gave me more time.
Really?
And then I was there for 3.5 years, and that's how it began.
Wow.
And by the second time, I knew that it was my thing.
Yeah. Huh?
By the second week, I was like, oh, this is kind of my thing.
Yeah. So it was sort of destiny for you. I mean,
absolutely destiny.
Like
And a happy accident. And now James is here.
Yeah, James is here. Does his porno shows
now.
Yeah,
he wasn't in porn at the time.
No. But he is now. He figured out how to be with young women.
Yeah, maybe I should become a porn star. That's the next
logistical step
from local cable. I don't know how I missed that step.
There you go. You see, it depends. It all depends on what you want to do with your life. You know, and he figured out how to be with young women. So there you go.
Hey.
You know, he's about my age. And
yeah, because he'd been doing his show for a long time when I got there, and I was the baby.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, I know. And for those of you who want to listen to James Bartolet, he's got a show called Inside the Industry, and that's about the adult industry, adult entertainment industry, and he's got a very popular show.
He's
people love sex, man.
They grateful to him for giving me that radio show. I wouldn't be here now. It's kind of a weird thing with me here, right? Because then when KLSX went from being classic rock to talk, I fell in love with the idea of talk. I don't think I'd ever listened to talk radio in my life.
Oh, so you were spinning records more?
It was kind of a music-talk hybrid, because in my 20s and 30s, my day job was booking music.
Mm.
So my whole life was working in the music industry.
Right.
So we did that, and then I fell in love with talk when KLSX went talk, to the point where I started shifting my show more towards talk.
Uh-huh.
And the last year I was at KIEV, we changed the name from Sheena Metal's Freakin' Rock Review, which was the name of my television show, to Sheena Metal After Midnight, because I was talking more.
Uh-huh.
And I fell in love with KLSX, and I fell in love with Mother Love. And she was sort of inadvertently my radio mentor. And now really? She's here too.
Wow, what a small
world. So just
like world.
Everything worked out. It's like coming home. Here was very much like a coming home thing to come here.
Yeah. The radio community is not that large, you know.
No.
So you always run into people. It's a common thing for radio stations to fire people and then they go to another market where they're picked. And, you know, and they do very well. So it depends. I think markets just get tired of a DJ or something, and then they start in a new market. But luckily for us, we reach everywhere, so it's not like different markets, you know.
The world has changed.
Yeah, you know, so. And I posted something on Facebook about our Alexa rating. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, you go to Alexa.com. They also have like a little toolbar. And they're able to measure, to estimate traffic for websites. But I don't think they're ever close to the right numbers. But what they do have is like a ranking. So like where you sit as far as the rest of the sites in the world. So there was like a shakeup there, and a lot of people dropped like hundreds of thousands of spaces and stuff. And we did too when they had a shakeup and stuff. But then we rose. We produced a new website that's mobile and stuff. So they look at all that stuff, and now we're leading internet talk radio stations.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, we're like, everybody's below us on that. So I'm happy about that.
That's fantastic.
I know. We've dominated Google for the term talk radio for years.
Yeah.
And
since I came here 7 years ago.
So now we're like number two or three, but it changes all the time. But we were number one for years there. And, you know, that brings you a lot of traffic too, you know,
it's
because
fantastic.
You get exposure.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, this station is just the bomb. What can I say?
It's amazing. Changed my life.
Yeah. Changed a lot of people's lives, too. Obviously, my life. And many people just love doing this, you know. And they define themselves as a radio host, even if they come here once a week.
Sure.
Because it's an important thing for people.
Well, a lot of terrestrial radio hosts only work once a week.
Yeah.
A lot of hosts just do a weekend show.
That's
and just
true.
Do an hour or 2 hours. That's not...
Yeah,
that's not rare. I mean, look at Meryl Schindler, the food critic. He was, when I was on KLSX, he was there. I think he's been there pretty much since Jesus was alive.
Really?
And
that was like a Sunday show or something?
It was like a Sunday afternoon show.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody does, you know, has to be on the air every day. And I think just coming in and doing an hour, if that's your thing, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
No, I mean, I feel good because, you know, I mean, you had some stars from KLSX move on to other things. Tom Likas started his own show. But he's been doing it for 4 years, so we beat him by about 4 years. He's got his own audience, and you expect him to have a huge audience. I mean, he was like he's still known as a you know, as a unique host. He's got his own audience, you know, younger males and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He teaches them how to date and all that stuff. But even he, with all his following and everything, is way below us. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's hard to do something where it's just you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some people do really well with a podcast, but I think it's difficult to try to do a station where it's just you. I think the fact that this is more of a like a collective
of
talent.
And I'm grateful that it turned out that way, you know, because you don't know. You know, you don't know. I mean, I think Tom Likas did try to add other shows, but he's got only like one or something. So I don't know what he's trying to do. But I'm following him. I know what's going on. And
I just looked at his site the other day. Isn't that strange? I just all of a sudden thought, I wonder what's going on with Tom.
Yeah.
And I went and looked at his site, and it looked like it was mostly just him. It seems almost like the Howard Stern channel on Sirius.
Right.
Except that's his whole thing.
Right. Yeah, because he establishes himself as a brand and everything. But there's only so much you can do, you know, and it's a one-person operation.
I keep waiting for Stern to start his own internet station.
Well, it won't happen for 5 years. He just resigned.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Look, he wants to be, to him still, the internet is not the major place to be, you know. So he wants to be in the millions and tens of millions of listeners, and they treat him well at Sirius, I guess. So he stayed for another 5 years, you know. And this is funny because we talk about Howard Stern. I want to go on a diversion here for a second and digress. But it was on Howard Stern, actually, in 1996 that the sex doll, the real doll, was introduced.
Oh.
Have you heard of the real doll?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
She has the real skin and...
It's all like silicone and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Or what is it that they use? Silicone figure. And... it has a posable skeleton, interchangeable faces, and penetrable orifices.
Sure, you got to have those.
Yes.
Or why bother?
Exactly. And it starts at $6,500 for one. Now, I remember when it first came out, they made jokes out of it and stuff. But, I mean, this is since 1996. That's 20 years that they've been doing this. And people are buying this stuff.
I remember when it came out, we covered it when I was on KLSX. And I remember that it was... it was $5,000. And everybody's saying, who'd pay $5,000?
Right.
But, you know, 20 years later, it's only $6,500. So she's come down a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder how much, how many people buy this stuff, you know? I mean, if you have that kind of money, wouldn't you think you probably would get a chick, a real chick?
Yeah, I mean, but I think some people don't want that. It's a strange thing, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously you could just use, you know, you could just get a stroker, or you could just get a one of those pelvic real busts,
right?
And just use your imagination. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the idea of spending that kind of money.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even get some nice in-call girls for that.
Yeah, I know. And plus, I think it's just weird, right? I mean, it's not like a... like a masturbator or something, like the flashlight or something, where you just hold something. I mean, here you're pretending to make love to a woman that's actually made of rubber. Man.
And I don't think it's just for
really
the sex.
Screwed up for that, right?
I think you sort of... Yeah, I think you develop sort of a companionship thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How screwed up do you have to be for that, right?
I think that she's the beginning of... someday they'll be robots, you know, androids.
Right.
That you can just go buy one and it's your permanent companion. I mean, I know we've seen movies about that, but I think we're not too far off.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the future looks pretty bleak for younger generations, because I'm really starting to be convinced that machines eventually will take over. You know, it's science fiction now, you know. We see it in the Terminator and the Matrix, movies like that. But they talk about singularity. Have you heard of that? That's like the point we're going to reach, they're saying, maybe in 30 years, where human ability and machine ability will be equal. So they'll be able to create and think the same way that we do.
Yeah.
And that's going to be tough, man. I don't think... I mean, I think it's totally possible.
Sure.
We're able to create so many incredible things. I can't see how we can't create a computer that eventually thinks for itself.
Yeah.
And the machines are able to rise on us or something, you know?
In a way, do you think it's a natural form of evolution? Because as the machine technology is getting better and better, and we're getting closer to this robotic world where we could have robot companions that think like us, human beings are becoming less and less empathetic and more technical in the way that our brains function. And maybe it's the natural evolution, so that by the time that the technology catches up to where we're at as far as being able to create living robots, we'll be so robotic that we won't really know the difference.
Because
humans have become a lot less... I think humans have become a lot more robotic. Like, we can watch things being killed on television. We don't even think about it.
That's true.
Deal with things every day and not even think about it. We see a lot of stuff. I mean, look at Facebook. You go down your Facebook timeline at night. I mean, your homepage at night, and it's just one horrible... somebody skinned a baby giraffe, and
here's
some pictures of my grandmother's
and...
cancer scans. And I mean, you really have to be tough to even get through daily life.
That's true.
There's so much input.
Facebook is getting brutal, you know. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there's a lot of trolls there. A lot of people trying to give you a hard time and start trouble and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hatred, political hatred, I see, right?
That's part of it, I think. Election years are tough. And I also think, you know, I'm woo-woo, so here goes my woo-woo. They say that the new Chinese New Year, which happened about a month ago, we're in the fire monkey.
Uh-huh.
And they say something about the fire monkey is going to make people really fired up and agitated all year. And boy, people right now are really crazy. So many negativity posts, right?
I know.
What's the purpose?
I think people are freaking out that Donald Trump is going to get elected. So liberals are like doing everything to destroy him. But they do that with other Republican candidates too. You
they
know,
do it
I mean,
with everybody.
It just deconstructs
just
everybody. Yeah, you know. So yeah, so you never know. You know, you don't know what's going on.
That's
so,
when I took a step to the right when I saw that liberals, or I don't consider those liberals, leftists.
Right.
We're being just as horrible as we always thought the ultra-conservative people were.
Right.
I mean, we make fun of, growing up, liberals made fun of the evangelicals and their oppression. But, you know, what about some of these leftist Bernie Sanders people and their oppression?
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's what people don't understand is that there's a downside to everything. And if you just blindly follow your party, you know, you're not going to get the results you want.
Yeah.
You know, and so in South Carolina, Trump won again.
Yeah.
By a lot. And
over 2, 3, 4, 5 evangelical. 6, if you count Rand Paul. Isn't he still in the race?
No, he's not in the race.
Oh, did he finally quit?
And neither is Rubio. Is not an evangelical, is he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
I don't think he is.
He's not?
No, no.
Okay.
Cruz is, I know that.
Right, Carson is.
Carson is. Bush is out of the race.
Right, but he was running in South Carolina.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, that's true.
Kasich is, right?
I think Kasich is, yeah, but he's not going to get much.
That's miraculous.
Yeah.
Did Rand Paul eventually drop out?
Yeah, last week.
I missed that. Okay.
After New Hampshire.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So he decided he's not going to win. Jeb Bush realized he's not going to win. I could have told you that a long
time ago. Are you amazed
that
Carson's still hanging in there?
Yeah, but what I'm amazed at how much he dropped.
Yeah, I know.
Remember,
he was
like the man.
Right, but then Trump started pointing out how crazy he was.
I don't know if it was that so much. It's just that he revealed himself as a overly religious person.
And a crazy person. When he stabbed somebody and he pulled a knife on his mother, there's like all these crazy... There was that week where it was all about how crazy he was.
Really?
And he has a picture of Jesus and him hanging out in his house.
Wow.
Have you seen that picture?
No.
It's a painting and it has like... sort of like Jesus kind of up on the cross, and then it has him, and he's sort of like up looking up at Jesus. And
oh, God.
It kind of seems like there's a relationship of some kind going on there. Maybe he and Jesus played cards or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
dude,
this is. And then that story about how he stabbed his mother or whatever. I
never heard of that.
He pulled
one.
A gun on her. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and he stabbed somebody in a convenience store. There's like two crazy violent. Yeah, if you go and Google like Donald Trump on Ben Carson, you'll hear him like retell the stories, and they're actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
So he's like a crazy guy, and he pulled a knife, and that's the thing. If you've got problems, Donald Trump's like a stand-up comic.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's ridiculous. He's like a clown, you know. But what I don't understand is people on Facebook writing, I've seen it more than once, where if you support Trump, please unfriend me. It's like people can't deal with reality.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing is, this guy could be your president, and whether you like it or not. So, but of course, I don't think he will be. But the question is, is he going to ruin it for the Republicans? And it looks like he's going to.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like it from the beginning when he started leading, you know, because if he takes the nomination, you know he's not going to win against Hillary. There's no way.
No.
There's just not enough supporters for Trump. And there's plenty of supporters for Obama's policies. So Clinton pretty much will continue that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's hard to tell, but let me tell you, Donald Trump sure has a beautiful family. So the liberals will attack everybody, his wife, his kids, everything, his hair, his faces that he makes. They'll attack everything just to delegitimize him. But he's laughing at everybody all the way to the bank. I, for one, would not vote for him. I thought in the beginning I would because I read his books. He's got some great ideas, but it's totally fogged by his stupid things that he says. You know, he says irresponsible things that presidents don't say.
Yeah.
They're not presidential. And he can't deal with criticism, which is a childish thing, I think.
Yeah.
So... you know, I don't think he has what it takes, and he's too controversial. I mean, people are embarrassed to say they support him.
That's one of my biggest complaints about Bernie Sanders, because I think if you're going to talk about Donald Trump, and then you should talk about somebody from your own party as well. Is it Bernie right. Sanders gets really nasty when he doesn't win.
Really?
Yeah, he gets really nasty. He got really nasty in Iowa, and he was going to insist on a recount. And then I think somebody pointed out to him that probably wasn't a great idea.
Yeah.
So then he dropped that. And then he's just very nasty.
Yeah.
And I just
wow, that's interesting.
I think when you're looking at a presidential year like we are now, you have to watch each candidate speak. And you have to think, what if I was watching them give the State of the Union address?
Right.
Would I be okay with that?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's part of the problem with Bernie Sanders, as I look at him and I see, here's like a really angry guy who keeps talking about revolution.
Right.
That's a little scary. We're at no place in this country for a revolution.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And, you know, and the thing is that even if... there's the prospect of a Jewish president for the first time. Would be great, but that's not a reason for me to vote for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
I feel the same way.
And yeah. I don't think people should automatically, you know, jump and vote for the person that kind of like is like them, because that's not the only issue.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other issues. And if his issues, I mean, if he's such a socialist, it doesn't interest me. I don't care if he's Jewish or whatever.
I don't want to wait in line for bread. I don't want my neurosurgeon to make the same as the DMV lady.
Right.
None of that interests me at all.
No, and the main thing about it is they're going to tax everybody and try to make everything equal. And that's just not a fair way to run a society.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't give everybody equal access to everything when they don't put in equal work, you know, equal effort and stuff.
I agree. I think we have too much of that problem, that laziness problem in our country anyhow.
Right.
We don't want to exacerbate that with more, here's your roll of toilet paper and your block of cheese and see you next month.
Yeah.
You know, we've got too much of that. If anything, I'd like to see us cut back on some of those programs. More jobs and less handouts, because it's not been good for the emotional economy of our country. People are depressed and they're angry, and that's why they're responding to Trump and Sanders the way they are.
I think so. I really think so. You know, people are angry, but then people are asking more, why are they angry, you know? And angry at what? And, you know, my answer is they're angry and disillusioned by the Obama administration.
Yeah.
You know, and these are the people that are like so, I mean, I'm so put off by Obama's policies that I automatically won't vote for Hillary. But at the same time, I'm also not at the place where I'm going to just, because of my anger toward him, vote for someone who's not qualified.
No.
You know, just because I want to replace him with something
right.
Different.
I feel the same way. I was a Hillary supporter in 2008. And
yeah, I was too.
I was not happy the way that the Obama – I thought the Obama campaign was very dirty and nasty.
Right.
And the way that everybody just turned their back on her and supported him. And then he came in as sort of this Free Pizza Friday super liberal president, and then became not that for his first term, and then became that for his second term. And it's all been very confusing. And I understand he's done a lot of great things, but I would like to see somebody come in and maybe be a little more presidential, a little more of a leader, and a little more of a...
Yeah.
Of as far as foreign policy, a little more of a ball buster.
Right.
But I don't see any of the Republican guys just don't seem like I would want them to handle my foreign policy. I mean, this sounds really sad, but Hillary's balls are the biggest of all of them.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? Her views also have changed quite a bit since 2008, and I don't quite support her views anymore. I got to tell you, on the Republican side, I really feel strongly about Rubio. I think he's the only logical choice there. And actually took a second place in South Carolina.
Yeah, that's
which
good.
Which was not bad. Not much in front of Cruz, but nevertheless, I think he's the only viable one. I, for one, if nothing really changes, if he doesn't screw up big time, I'm probably going to vote for Rubio. Because I like his foreign policy. I like that he's very informed.
Yeah.
And, okay, so he's got some things that he's weird with, I think, like... Doesn't he have something with gay marriage or abortion or something?
Yeah, he doesn't like any of that.
Yeah.
He's very conservative.
You see, so that's the thing. But he's not extremely conservative. That's what I'm saying.
Right, he's not Ted Cruz.
Yeah, exactly. Or, Yeah, or the other ones who
see, and I believe we should all be able to live together. I think gay marriage should be legal. I think abortion should be legal. I think you should be able to own a gun.
Right.
I think you should be able to. I think that's fine that the Pledge of Allegiance is in schools. I think we should find a middle ground where we can all be happy. I don't have a problem with In God We Trust on the dollar.
I know exactly, but that's what I'm saying. I attribute a lot of that to Obama for reaching such a state of a divided country, yeah. You know, we're so divided, split right in the middle, and yeah. It's been like that for the past 8 years.
I think it's been that way for the past 16
it has
years.
Been it
I think
has
it started
been.
With that the Hinkie election with Bush.
Right.
I think we haven't trusted anything since the Hinkie election. You know, I mean, I think it started there, and then I think everybody thought it was going to get better with Obama, and I don't think. I think it's, yeah. No, I don't
I know,
think it's better.
I know. That's the thing. He came up with a lot of big expectations, you know, change and all that.
And hope. Where's the hope?
Yeah, where's the hope?
People are out buying fake girlfriends that cost $6,500 and complaining on Facebook. Where's my hope? If that's the hope, that the price of the real girlfriend came down, that's not much hope.
I know, but some people must be desperate. I just can't imagine anybody. But you know what? Even a doll like this sort of like sounds okay, but what about the inflatable ones? I mean, come on, you know? It's like making love to a fucking beach ball or something.
Oh, my God,
you know?
With the face.
Yeah.
That face.
With the big mouth.
I mean, is that sort of like when guys look at women, is that what they see?
No,
like
no,
just the mouth open like that waiting? I mean, that's a little scary. And they smell like a pool toy. They're terrible. But they're great to blow up at when your band plays
right. And
then pop them around the audience like a beach
ball. That's true.
I have a Sarah Palin one.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Not Sarah Palin, obviously, because they were going to get sued for the licensing. But
Whoa. It
looks just like her.
Wow.
I keep threatening to buy her a little business suit and take her to a concert when my band plays.
Yeah. You see, it's a good gag thing, but I mean...
It's a great gag thing.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people actually
And the blow-up sheep?
Blow-up sheep?
There's a blow-up sheep.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
does someone
God.
Actually use that, or is that just for a gag? Because that's a little scary. Yeah.
That's for ISIS.
Right.
It's reserved for ISIS.
They had like 500 of them dropped over a secret location.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
But you know, whatever floats your boat. I remember when I worked on 97.1, and we did, you know, mostly sex and relationships for 7 years.
Yeah,
that guys would call up and they would get like the Jenna Jameson. I can't think of what they're called now, but where it's like just her from the waist.
Yeah.
It's the real pelvis.
Right.
And it'd be like, yeah, I've had 4 of them and I wore them out.
Oh,
like,
my
wow,
God.
You're really hitting Jenna.
Yeah.
Okay, you're really loving that thing. But the thing is when you've ever had one, and, you know, because I'm a spokesperson for a sex toy company, I have one of those too, or a couple. It's kind of clunky and weird. And
so it's just like an ass with a vagina or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it starts like right about at the waist.
Right, like part of the torso.
And then it goes to like where the legs would come.
Right.
It's just this chunk of
right, and then
of latex and cyber skin.
Right.
And then it has
then
a vagina
have the,
and
the
an anus.
Yeah, yeah, and the vagina.
And then it comes with a little talcum powder and some cleaning solution.
Well, you would expect that.
Because nothing says
yeah.
sexy like when you got to clean your girl out right afterwards. I mean, that just kind of doesn't that sort of take the moment away
my
afterwards
God.
When you're in there scrubbing with Windex or whatever.
I mean, make you feel like shit anyway, you know?
Yeah, and it's just kind of a chunk of vagina that sits in the corner. I don't know. I just think it's depressing, but apparently not for a lot of these guys who were really into it because, you know, it's really molded from, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I get it for a gag that it would be fun, like
yeah,
one time.
Yeah, for a gag, you know?
Just to see what the vagina's like.
Right.
But, you know, after a while, it's like, wow, you really...
People buy that
Maybe
stuff.
Maybe you need
man.
To buy Jenna some candy and give it a shot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, what is this? And people get like masturbators that look like someone's vagina. You know,
yeah.
They get like cast of the or like what they call those, like the impression of their
yeah, the
vagina.
Strokers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they
I get that
like
more than the chunk of abdomen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I never tried one of these. I just feel really weird. bring, like, using something to masturbate with, you know, yeah. and stuff like that. I'm not even big on sex toys with women together. I don't know why. I've changed since I was a kid. I mean, when I was in my 20s, anything went, you know. No, I don't like bringing toys into the bed. I don't know. It feels kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
But I'm just weird in that way, I guess. It's just that they start buzzing and stuff, all those vibrators, and it distracts me completely, you know.
Well, it kind of takes the intimacy out of it.
I think so,
it makes it more like a game. So I get if you're in a long-term relationship and things have gotten a little stale.
Right.
It's a way to do something fun and spice it up.
That's true,
but yeah. I think if you're just, like, getting to know somebody and you show up with your sack of toys,
yeah,
it's a little odd.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, they're clunky, and the batteries are in different disarray, and
yeah.
It just seems a little, you know.
I wonder how people break it to their spouses or, let's say, new boyfriends or girlfriends when they're, like, into S&M and things like that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, how do you break it to someone? Because you obviously are going to want them to be part of it, like 50 Shades of yeah. Grey, you know? And, you know, and if you're totally not into it, man, that's a big chance the guy has to take. Or even the woman, you know. I mean, sometimes women are into this. She might tell him, hey, I'm a dominatrix or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you seen 50 Shades?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. Everybody made such a big deal out of it, and then everybody, the books, then everybody hated the movie.
Right.
I thought the movie was actually kind of good.
Yeah.
I thought that it was very well acted. I thought it was beautifully shot. But it's kind of a sad story. I don't know that
it is. It is.
Because here's this guy who really does have feelings for her, but he's so messed up
right.
that he can only do this thing one way.
Exactly.
And it just isn't what she wants because it's weird right. and it just gets weirder.
Yeah.
And to me, I thought it was kind of tragic. I mean, I guess we'll see how we feel when the sequel comes out.
Yeah. So you never read the book?
I never read the books.
I know, neither have I. And I'm a big reader too, but somehow it was not appealing to me. I don't know. I did see the movie, though, to see what it was all about.
Yeah, I did,
and
too.
And to see the Dakota Johnson, because I think she's gorgeous.
She was great. They were both
cute.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
she's got that innocence about her that I like. And that's why she was a good casting job, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, she got
movie.
The best of both her parents.
Yeah, huh?
She really did.
Yeah.
yeah. No, I think she's great. And I thought the movie was really kind of a sad, tragic love story about, maybe because I'm a girl, but about two people that really loved each other and they just,
yeah.
they're just too different. You
yeah,
know, sometimes,
he was too screwed up, this guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Sometimes a relationship works in your hearts, but it doesn't work in the real world.
Yeah.
And he was really, and he just got more and more messed up as you went.
yeah.
But how many women are obsessed with him, of
That's
that character?
True. Yeah.
I mean, there must be women that really want to get spanked. And
there must be. There must be. And there are also guys that want to get spanked.
Sure.
Too.
You
yeah. know, you got all these dominatrices and they are, you know, and they tell you, you know, I mean, you have people that are powerful and big positions that want to be dominated,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, in the bedroom. And that's very interesting, you know, to see. But again, I just don't get the whips and the pain part of it. And
yeah.
the degradation part of it, you know.
The
I just
degradation
don't get.
I don't get at all. I yeah. get that there's a fine line between pleasure and pain.
Right.
And some people like that, like the autoerotic asphyxiation.
Right.
You know, and the you know, that idea that right when you're about to climax, you have somebody hit you really hard with the whip. Like, it's not my gig,
yeah.
but I get why people are into it. But the degradation and the, you know, come over and...
Yeah,
poop on my coffee table, and I don't get any of that.
Yeah, that
let's
gets...
put down the plastic and pee everywhere and have sex in it. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
right?
get that at all. No,
Whoa.
But a lot of people are into it. A lot of high
people
powered
screwed up.
Lawyers and agents are adult babies.
Yeah, you see,
I'm fascinated by adult babies.
Right,
that's fascinating.
I mean, there's like things where guys are fascinated or turned on by women popping balloons. I mean, I've seen that, you know, and that's weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird. I mean, how can that possibly, like, turn you on? But, you see, that's what I'm saying, though. I think all our sexual kinks come from childhood, you know? And everybody gets screwed up in their childhood with sex somehow, you know? Because sex is not something that young people can really handle, but they discover it early, especially today with the internet and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
But I remember myself discovering like magazines and
sure,
and they actually my parents had like slides, you know, because there weren't movies at the time in the 60s.
Your parents had sexy slides?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Porn slides,
my
I found
parents
them.
Had none of that.
I found them hidden. Yeah. As a kid, it was my quest to find everything my parents were hiding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I saw like a catalog of sex toys, but this is from the 70s. You have to understand, early 70s.
I didn't know there was enough for a catalog in the 70s.
I know, there was a lot. Wow. And mostly it had all kinds of, like I don't see them today, but it's kind of condoms that have all kinds of like attachments to them. You know, ticklers and things like that. They don't make those anymore. They have different kinds today. But I think those were meant like thick condoms, so to pleasure the woman and everything, you know?
Yeah.
But so I remember things like this, and I'm sure it screwed me up somehow, you know? I mean, I don't have any kinks really to speak of. I'm a very plain vanilla type of person when it comes to sex. But I feel that early on I was exposed to this stuff, and I don't think it ruined me, you know, but I think it affects kids somehow, you know.
Yeah.
It has to, you know.
But I mean,
you've seen an erect penis, a big erect penis, and you're a little kid, you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but isn't that kind of how you figure out what's going on? I mean, my parents had none of that, but friends' parents did.
Yeah.
I remember my friend's mom, we lived in Baltimore, she had the joy of sex. And she had Kama Sutra.
Yeah.
And she got like Hustler and We and Penthouse. I mean, she had a whole collection under the bed.
Wow.
And she was kind of a strange, like she had a gray bun. Uh-huh. You know? So she seemed very like the mom from Carrie, kind of.
Yeah.
But she had all these sex magazines and we would steal them and go read them.
Wow.
And that's kind of how I learned about a lot.
Yeah.
My mom didn't ever hide anything. She was always like, anything you want to ask me, ask me. And when I did, she'd tell me the truth. But the truth is, my parents didn't really have a sex life.
Wow.
So I wasn't going to learn anything there.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. That's interesting.
They,
But yeah, I mean, usually kids have ways to find out.
Oh, yeah.
Today, it's just so, so disturbing that such young kids can run into it on the internet and really hardcore stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That somewhere that has to screw up a young mind, you know.
Have you ever had a? And I'm saying this by acknowledging I have. Have you ever had the urge to look up a friend who's a porn star and to look up some of their porn? That's kind of a mind blow.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, I did. I didn't for a while. I mean, I run into porn stars here a lot.
Yeah, and I have friends that are porn stars, and I'm in...
Right, and they come on the shows and stuff.
I'm in a web series that has a few gay porn stars in it.
Yeah.
It's funny, but
one of them, I told her, I said, oh, I finally saw one of your movies, and she was totally embarrassed.
Really?
You know? Yeah, because you know them. Yeah. I think that's what it's about.
Yeah, I don't know that I would tell them I did, but I did. I went and I'm like, I'm curious to see what's such a big deal about this person. And then I went, here's some porn on the internet. And you don't even have to look at like sites that'll screw up your computer. You can just put up their name and hit Google Images.
Yeah.
And there's photos right there and videos and stuff. It's not a secret.
No.
It used to be such a secret.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I'm saying is even working actresses are uncomfortable with friends seeing them, you know?
Yeah.
So go figure what the hell they're about. Maybe it was just one person, but...
I don't know.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a very mysterious thing to me to see people get into porn because it's a one-way door. You know, you can't go back. You can't undo it, especially with the internet today. You know, I mean, nothing gets lost. Everything is there forever.
Yeah.
You know, and to open yourself up like that, literally and figuratively, to me, it's crazy. It's not considering all the consequences, you know.
I agree. But when you think about it, it's just sex. I mean, it's, you know.
No, it is. But you know what? Porn is not just sex. Porn is sex in a way that people don't do it. You know?
Yeah.
I've never done sex the way people do it in porn. I mean, did you ever hear anybody say all these things? Maybe sometimes they do, but like, shit, fuck. No, women don't do that when they have sex, you know?
Sometimes they do.
Maybe sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. I think you might have been dating the wrong girl, Sam.
Maybe I have.
Sometimes they do, yeah.
But I mean, even they, by their own admission, they say that, you know, that's not the way they have sex in their normal lives, you know? So.
Yeah. But it's interesting how, this is interesting, somebody will do a reality show and tell every secret of their entire life and think nothing of it, but then be shy about porn. It's really that puritanical sexual ideology that we have, right? It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, people are very scared about revealing anything sexual about themselves.
Yeah, it's very strange. But yet we'll tell every secret and everybody we ever hated and every family secret and just sit there and spew it out to a camera, but then be very strange about sex.
Yeah, I know. It's very weird, man. But that's why, to be honest with you, you know, I do watch porn and stuff, but I don't like just plain new American porn because it's all the same.
Yeah,
the girls don't look real. Many of them are not attractive, and I hate to say that, with all the tattoos and the piercings and everything, doesn't turn me on.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I discover Japanese porn.
Oh,
and there you get women that don't look like porn stars.
Yeah,
they look like women off the street. Unfortunately, many of the Japanese porn movies are pixelated at the contact area.
Really?
So you can't see their pubes. But sometimes they do it pretty cleverly. Well, you can see.
Oh, that's right,
because
in Japan you can't show pubes.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, you can't show vagina or penis. So they pixelate it.
God.
Yeah. Most of the movies are like that. Some are not.
Wow.
But yeah, but I got to tell you that, you know, when you have the story, I used to think of like, just let me look at the pussy, you know, I'll be fine with that. But then I realized it's not that, it's a story, you know, it's what you're looking at, you know, and like sometimes, like you'll have a nurse taking care of the patients in the hospital. They all look real, you know. The guys are not attractive. You hardly even see their face. They're just props. And the women are, like, gorgeous. You know, if you like not shaved and things like that. They're natural, no fake boobs or anything.
Yeah.
That's attractive to me, you know?
I agree.
So
I
now,
agree.
So now I prefer that much more to the to American porn. And not only that, but look, I mean, some of the Japanese movies, they do even crazier things than we do. But that's not what appeals to me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, more plain vanilla, nurses, I don't know, teachers, things like that, you know?
Yeah. What about 70s? Do you like 70s porn?
Yeah, that
I like.
Where it has
more of a story.
And they're more real, they're more natural and everything. Yes, I like that. I just don't like what's become of it here. Maybe because we're too close to it here, you know?
Yeah.
We see the people that make it and all that stuff, but and they all seem the same to me, you know? They really don't turn me on, you know?
Well, porn here isn't sexy anymore. It's become, like, ironic, like, you know, Dirty Facts of Life and, you know, Dirty Brady Bunch, and everything's a spoof now. They're all spoofs
exactly.
of movies.
Yeah.
And if anything, they're more almost kind of campy and funny.
Right.
Like the old 70s porn was like a romance novel, but X-rated.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It was more innocent, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah.
And today, it's all the same directors, the same actors doing the same movies, and it's all the same, you know? And like I said, a lot of the... I like when they don't look like they're doing porn, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like natural and stuff. And in the 70s, they did do that, you know? It looked more believable.
Yeah, and the people looked real. Their bodies looked real.
Right. But you know why porn is successful today? Because guys connect with the girls. It's like, oh, I'm following this girl, whatever movie she makes.
It's true.
You know? When I guess it was like that in the 70s, too. There were some stars and everything. But, again, the reason I enjoy the Japanese part of it is because it looks so innocent and so unscripted.
Yeah.
You know? So
did you ever go to a porn theater? Like in the old theaters?
I did. To Pussycat Theaters.
I wish I had been old enough to do that.
But you know what? It's gross, man.
I only went once.
Yeah. But no, it was gross.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then video came out and that was a revolution, you know.
Yeah.
When people could watch porn at home.
Yeah.
That made it very big. But porn is a fact of life, you know.
Yeah.
But what I started saying about the Japanese porn is, even though it's pixelated, it's the story, it's the plot, you know, the like I said, the lack of like professionalism on their part, to me is like such a turn on. You know, So it doesn't matter if it's pixelated or not. I don't need to see their genitals in order for this to really turn me on.
Yeah, interesting.
That's what really I realized. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
So it's funny that way. But like I said, people get all kinds of kinks.
I like gay porn. I like guy porn.
Really?
Yeah, I guess a lot of girls do. So it's not just me. There's something to me about like these big, tough, uh-huh, scary looking guys being like really sweet with each other. That's right. Really sexy. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
They all
know
look
what you
like
mean.
A brick shit house.
Right.
And then suddenly they're all like sexy with
they
each other.
They take it up the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something like really kind of sexy about that. I kind of like it. Yeah. Like there's always like, you know, two guys are in a foxhole and then the next thing
yeah, right?
happens.
Like football team or.
Yeah, football team. Or
soldiers.
Right. Yeah. Gladiators. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
That's really funny.
And it has, I think it has more story.
Yeah.
Because I think it's...
Maybe it does, yeah. I mean, I know some lesbian movies are cool. Guys like lesbian
yeah,
movies a
guys
lot.
Guys seem to like that.
Yeah. But, once it's out of your system, though, it's like you look for that, like, penis-vagina interaction.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
Yeah. But, and I think a lot of people almost get... saturated with it, then they have to try to find something that's more crazy or more more dirty or
they
more
do.
On the fringe. They need more, and that's why all these crazy, you know, the super bondage and the cutting and, you know, whatever it is that...
I know. I remember the first time I saw gay porn, it wasn't a movie, it was just a magazine, and I was dating this girl who had a gay roommate, and... So one day I was curious. I looked at one of his magazines. I was like in shock. I really was, because it was the first time I'd seen it. I must have been like 21 years old or something. And I'd never seen it before, like a guy taking up the butt and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know, he's like in a female position.
Yeah.
Taking a penis up his ass, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you know.
But there's something about the invasiveness of anal activity.
Yeah.
There's something a little sexy about the fact that it's a little wrong.
Yeah, right?
Whether it's guy or it's girl guy or it's girl with a sex toy, there's just something a little wrong about it that makes it a little interesting. You know,
that's true.
Especially with the size of some of those porn stars.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you sit there and think, wow, I'd have to have like a who needs a colonoscopy?
Exactly.
You know, when you
just
put
a
little camera on
mini
the tip
camera
and go
on
to
the
town.
Tip, right?
Because that thing's like a foot and a half long.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But I think we're intrigued with things like that.
We are.
It's a little wrong. It's why we love all those food shows. I was looking on the Food Network over the weekend. It's kind of my go-to when there's nothing else to watch. And there's all these shows with like, it's a hamburger, but it's 3 pounds. And it has 4 pounds of cheese inside it. And, you know, there's something really wrong about eating something like that. But that's why we love it.
Yeah,
it's like
true.
Anal for food. You know?
I know.
And it's fried 15 times, and then it's crusted in powdered sugar. And you sit there and think, nobody should have that. But then you want it because nobody should have it.
Right.
And I think we feel that way
true.
About fringe sex, too.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, people, like I said, all kinds of tastes out there. I'm not one to judge people, you know.
No, me either.
Yeah. It's just that, again, you know, with porn here, it just, like when I see like a lesbian movie or something, it just seems like bad acting. It's just like, don't act, just do it,
just
you know?
Just do it.
Just do it, man. I'm not watching your acting here.
Right.
But they try to set up the situation, and that's what I'm saying, you know? I think it leaves a lot to be desired. Anyway, folks, enough about porn, about...
and on that note...
Yeah. Sheena, thank you so much for joining
me
this
morning. My pleasure.
Anytime,
my friend.
Always a good thing. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, Sheena.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.